all the way to the top. I won't spill. I won't spill. All the way to the rim. There's your Arizona fresh hot cup of coffee. Welcome to the broadcast. It is Rosie on the house. Now on hour number two, but hour number one for all of our six statewide affiliates. We start at 7 o'clock now. Just a general Arizona. What's going on this weekend, or what places to go, people to see, things to do. Hour, the 8 o'clock hour is all landscape and gardening. You can call in at 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you if you want to talk about your plants, your gardens, your lawns, your trees. We have Melinda Myers will be joining us later this segment to talk about the perfect tomato production for your spring tomatoes. But in studio, we have Cheryl Gore from the Arizona Nursery Association, along with Cindy Writing from... Hang on just a second.
Push that button right there.
Which button?
All the way to the left. There you go. Cindy! Good morning.
Good morning, Romy.
Welcome. Thank you for joining us.
My pleasure to be here.
And you've got quite an extensive background in the plant industry.
I do. As you well know, I was listening to you talk about the history of the radio station, and my dad was in the retail nursery business when I was a kid, and he actually had a radio show. So between my dad's Del Camino Nursery, I've worked in wholesale for many years and still involved in on the board of the Nursery Association.
And where was your family's nursery located?
In Scottsdale at Oak and Scottsdale Road.
Oh, wow.
Yep.
Yeah, I know right where that is. So right around from where Harper's is now, you know, Thomas and Hayden.
Yeah, exactly.
Nice.
Yeah.
And that was, what was it called?
Del Camino Nursery.
Del Camino Nursery. And what... I was going to ask you a date, but you never ask women dates.
My dad.
Except, wait, when's your anniversary or when's your birthday?
Right,
not
exactly.
How long ago you were born, but maybe when your birthday.
He got in business in 1968 and sold the nursery, I think, about 1990.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Very good. And Cheryl Gore, director, as long as we've been working with the Arizona Nursery Association, it's been all you. I know you've got some great help behind the scenes, but yeah. I mean, you're the face and the voice of the Arizona Nursery Association.
For 25 years now.
Wow.
Yeah.
You didn't have to ask the date.
No. Great association, a lot of great members. We represent not only the people who retail the plants and trees, but sometimes people don't realize how much we grow as far as the grower nursery and really a part of agriculture with the people who grow shrubs and trees here in Arizona.
And y'all have a campaign that listeners have heard regularly on the program.
Yeah, we have our Plant Something campaign. You do our radio ads here. You might see our billboards coming up in the next couple weeks as well. But we are encouraging people to not just stand there, plant something. And that's really, it's a beautiful time of the year in Arizona and a perfect time to get out there and plant something.
And you'll actually be back in studio in 2 weeks on the 18th as we lead into Arbor Day.
Absolutely. Arbor Day is a wonderful day, the last Friday in April here in Arizona and most states across the country. And we're going to talk about all the wonderful activities you can do to honor Arbor Day and talking about planting a tree, the gift that lasts a lifetime.
Wonderful. And our article for that day will talk about the value that it can bring to the home, not only for resale, but if you plant it in the right location and create the shade, what it can do to not only, you know, everyone talks about save on your energy bill, save on your, you know how much that does for extending the life of your paint to have that not getting beat 24/7, not 24/7, but all from sun up to sundown with the Arizona heat. So it extends the anything you put in the shade, the life will be extended up. So we'll be talking 2 weeks on April 18th back here in studio. But today we're going to talk about what you, the Arizona landscaper gardener, wants to do by dialing in at 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you. Before we get to Mike, our first caller online, our topic today in the Home Improvement Hour is decorative concrete and low-maintenance use. So let's talk low-maintenance landscaping. What first comes to your mind, Cindy, when someone says low-maintenance? Do you just slap them and say, it's a growing plant, there's no such thing?
No, oftentimes people say, well, I want a plant that I don't have to water and that I don't have to maintain. Many plants are low-water and low-maintenance, but they have to get established first. I'm looking outside your door and a hybrid Palo Verde is there, which is a low water tree once it's established. And so that's the key, is to getting plants established and then adjust your water and maintenance and fertilizer.
Do you have a favorite tree?
Oh, I have a couple of favorite trees. Texas ebony, which is botanical Pithecolobium, for all of you that may want to know that.
I love Texas ebonies. I mean, they're killer to prune. They've got wicked thorns.
Yep.
Little tiny ones. But it's a different color of green that just feels very lush.
Yes, it's very dark green, very dense. It can be pruned to open it up, or it can be kept as a smaller growing tree, but it is absolutely, I agree with you, beautiful.
And you are going to your next tree?
My next tree, which is, Desert Willow is another beautiful tree that has a beautiful purple blossom in the spring. Low growing, low water. They are deciduous, so they'll lose their leaves for just a little bit, but they flush right back out. Another beautiful tree.
Is that Melinda on the bottom? Well, very good. We are here for the Arizona Homeowners and Gardeners, and usually this time of year we hear from another very special guest calling in, Miss Melinda Myers. Welcome to the broadcast.
Hey, thanks so much, and it's always good to chat with you.
Yes, ma'am. And we're talking something a little different. A lot of times we talk lawns, but this time we're talking about the perfect tomato production.
You bet. I don't know if any of us ever feel like we have the perfect tomato, but I think the perfect tomato is that first red ripe one of the season that we've waited for. So maybe that is the perfect tomato. And I thought you and I could share some of our tomato growing advice and help people have great success in their garden, whether it's the first time they've planted or if they've been struggling with issues like blossom end rot on their tomatoes for years.
Probably the number one question on tomatoes I get is blossom end rot. What's the cause and what's the cure?
It's calcium deficiency, but before you add calcium to your soil, make sure that it needs more calcium. What I find in many areas is we have plenty of calcium in the soil, but moisture imbalance is the issue. So the plants can't take up the moisture because it's not there. Then they can't take up the nutrients, even if they are there. That fluctuation between drought and moisture ends up interfering with the uptake of moisture and nutrients and then leading to blossom end rot. That's why we typically see more problems during droughty summers when we can't keep up with watering, in your case, every summer, every hot, dry season. And then containers, too, because of the small volume of potting mix. Potting mix tends to drain well, which is great, but it also dries out, so we need to water frequently. So if you're concerned about calcium, a soil test will help. But I'm also a fan of Milorganite because it's low nitrogen, slow release, and because it's an organic source of nitrogen, you've got all that nutrients that are slowly released over time. Research has shown that when the microorganisms work on it, it releases other nutrients like phosphorus and potassium bound to the soil. If we have a hot spell, it's going to sit in the soil till the moisture is right for the microorganisms. So proper watering is the first key, keeping the soil evenly moist, thorough, less frequent to encourage good deep roots, mulching, shredded leaves, evergreen needles, whatever you have, organic material, you know, that's insect and disease free, use that to help conserve moisture, and that'll help keep those roots consistently moist. If you stake or tower cage your tomatoes, do it at planting. One, you'll do less damage to the roots, and two, it's in place, so you're not trying to tie up this big sprawling tomato onto a stake or shove it into a cage to keep it upright so it's easier to harvest and fewer pest problems. And then avoid cultivation around the roots with a hoe or something that's going to cut those roots. You know, hand weed or shallow cultivation so you don't damage the roots. So culturally, those are all good things for growing tomatoes. It will help with blossom end rot as well.
And Milorganite's a very fascinating product. That's the groundbreaking organic product.
You bet. You know, it's so fun to meet somebody that you get that, because it's been around for 90 years, way before, you know, a lot of us were talking organic and green and sustainable. And it's you know, the byproduct of our wastewater treatment, but it's microorganisms that you're putting on your dead microorganisms you're putting on your garden, not what a lot of people think. And it's released by microorganisms working on it to release it over time. And one of the cool things they've done recently is they're piping methane from a nearby landfill to the plant because they kiln dry the product, so it's basically pathogen-free. But they're recycling waste. That methane, instead of going into the atmosphere and polluting, is coming to their facility, so they're using less fossil fuels for the kiln drying process. So continuing that green philosophy that's been part of Milorganite for almost 90 years.
And spell that for me.
Yeah. You're right. It's a tough one, isn't it? To see it, you may not pronounce it right, but it's M-I-L-O. It's Milwaukee, M-I-L, organic, O-R-G-A-N-I-T-E. So somebody, they had a contest, I think in the 40s, to name it, and they came up with Milwaukee Organic Nitrogen. So Milorganite is how they came up with that name. So that might help you also find the product, you know, when you're out and about shopping, and Milorganite. So it's a great low nitrogen, slow release. Use it on edibles, use it on ornamentals.
Thank you for joining us, Melinda. We appreciate it as always.
Well, thank you. And it's a great water-wise plant. I heard you talking drought tolerance, and so it doesn't promote lush, succulent growth that needs more water. And we all need to be water-wise, and you guys are the champions of knowing that. So thank you so much for the opportunity.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. And enjoy the rest of your Easter weekend there at your folks' house.
No, thank you so much. Take care.
Yes, ma'am. Bye. Calling in from her parents' house, doing a little traveling for her Easter weekend. I hope if you're on the road, you'll have a safe travel. Enjoy your time with your family. And if you've got a question, now's the time to get on before we get to Mary in Avondale right after this. It's 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you.